Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
That song, I can only imagine, is pretty interesting how it talks about our connection in heaven. It's about being in heaven. And this morning, I want to speak to you about heavenly places. So it's a connection, heavenly places. I want to read. Darrell, would you put up the scripture, Ephesians 2:1? We got 10 verses, and I'm going to read them. You can read them with me as they come up, but I'm going to read it. Ephesians 2:1. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. 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 Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that your word is spirit and life. Your word is true. Your word brings healing. Your word brings revelation. Your word brings light. Your word brings healing and deliverance. Jesus, you are the word. We exalt your name this morning, God. We thank you that we have a place in you that no one can take away. Thank you, God, that we have a heavenly home. Thank you, God, that you live with us here on the earth. And God, I thank you today you're going to help us to learn more how to live like you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're all from having a little trouble with this. I might go back to the black mic. Just, can y'all hear me a little better? Is that better? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A little clearer. Good. All right. Let's do that. So, are you sitting in heavenly places this morning? Some of y'all know what I mean. I saw a few hands, and some of you are wondering, what is he talking about? So let me break it down. How many of you have ever seen some of the old movies where they show a king sitting on a throne? It's a big chair. When I went to Italy this past summer, Drew and I went to a vineyard. Yeah, but it was a place that was owned by a family like for 700 years, and it's still in the family. It's so old. They had pictures of their family, all the kids and the descendants on the walls and everything. But outside, as we're walking up to the property, they had this big chair. And I sat down in the chair. And, of course, it was hot. I had on shorts. And I think I had on a little hat, keeping the sun out. And I was sitting there, and I sat in the chair, and Drutha said, "Okay, King Paul, click." And she shot the picture. And the reason why I'm giving you that picture is because while that's a pitiful example of God being on his throne,
Amen. It is an example, nonetheless, of a throne. God is sitting on that throne. And it says that in verse 5, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I've heard that for years, and I believe it. However, all of us are here right now, right? We're not sitting in a physical heavenly place. We're on the earth. We're in this pew in Portland, Oregon, in New Song Church, and we're here. But spiritually, in our spirit, we're sitting as a position of relationship. We're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're sitting as a position. Let me say it this way. If I was related to that king and that family and that chair that I was telling you about, if I was in that family and I looked on the wall and they had these white walls kind of like this, and they had pictures of the first father and then the kids, and they had them all up there. And these were obviously not photographs. They were paintings of the, and there were some rough looking people up there. But anyway, they were all there. And I noticed that if you were in that family, you had a connection. So because you were in that family, you have things that if you're not in that family, you don't have, right? In the same way, if we were in the president's family, I'll use our president. I know some of you don't like him. Some of us don't like him. But he is our president, and he has the position of the top dog in America. He's the top leader. And whoever's in his family gets rights. His wife has rights. She can go in and out of the White House at her own pleasure. She can call the Secret Service to come and help her out. She can do whatever. You see what I'm saying? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we have that same connection. It's by relationship. Jesus Christ died so we could have that connection with Christ. He gave his life to bring us into the family of God. And I know most of you know this, so I'm not telling you something new, but I'm just going over the playbook so that this will be a foundation for the next truth that we're going to look at. How are we seated in heavenly places? The first time I flew on a plane, I was 18 years old, and I had the privilege of being asked to be an organist for a national crusade. I lived in Seattle, Washington at the time, and I was flying back to Canton, Ohio. And it was my first time flying. And so I got on the plane. This was back in the 70s when they would fly a plane with 10 people in it. That ain't happening no more, but there was probably 20 people on the plane. I had a seat by the window, sort of in the back of the plane. And I'd never been on a plane. I didn't make the arrangements for the tickets. I knew nothing. They told me what to do, and I did it. I sat down, put on your seatbelt, put on my seatbelt, get ready, we're getting ready to take off. And so then the person comes out and tells you what you got to do if something happens, you know, the seat cushion is under there and all that stuff. And then we started taxiing down the runway. And for whatever reason, we had to wait. And I was anticipating something, but I didn't know what. And I was waiting and waiting, and finally the plane started to move. And I looked out the window, and I saw the lines in the thing go by, and they start going by faster and faster and faster and faster, and we're going down the runway, and then all of a sudden I felt my back go like this, and then I felt this big push back here, and then we took off and we left the ground, and man, I was beaming so wide. I just was like, oh man, I never felt nothing like that. I used to ride on my bicycle 35 miles an hour. And if you ride on a bicycle at 35 miles an hour by your own steam, that's pretty good. That plane was nothing. That bicycle was nothing compared to that plane. And when I lifted off, I just smiled. I was just so, and we got up in the air, and then after that wore off, the stewardess came down and she started talking to different people and saying stuff, and I wasn't paying attention. I was reading an in-flight magazine and just so enamored with the the place where I was at that point, and I was going on a mission to go play. I thought I was in something. And she came by to me, and she just walked by. And then about 5 minutes later, I saw her giving food to people, and I didn't get none. And I was like, well, she came by and gave peanuts and soda. I didn't get none. And this was back in the 70s when everybody got peanuts and soda. I got nothing. And it's a four-hour flight. And I was hungry, man. I smelled all the, I don't know what it was, chicken or whatever. But it was hot. They had them little silver forks and knives, and people were eating. And I was like, man, I must be a refugee or something, man. I didn't get nothing. And what I didn't know was that the price for the ticket that I paid entitled me to a peanuts and soda and a meal with dessert. But I didn't get any. And then we landed in Cleveland, and then we got a puddle jumper, a little prop, two people on each row, and we flew to Canton, Ohio, the home of the Football Hall of Fame is in Canton. Yeah, that's where I went. And we landed, and I walked on the tarmac, and I thought, man, this is low grade, man. So when I got to the hotel, I was talking to my older brother who had made arrangements for me, and he said, how was your trip? I said, man, I'm hungry. He said, what's the matter? I said, man, I didn't get nothing to eat on the... You didn't get nothing to eat? How come? I said, well, they didn't feed me. He said, they're supposed to feed you. You had an in-flight meal. You had, and I didn't know any different. So because I didn't know, I went hungry. I was sitting in heavenly places, starving. Starving like Marvin. And some of us, we're saved. We love Jesus. Can I get a hand? We love Jesus. He delivered us from the pits. And some of us have been through hell and back, and God has saved us, and we've been redeemed. But we're kind of like me. We're on the plane in a heavenly place, starving like Marvin. Because we don't know what we have in those heavenly places. We don't know our rights. And I say that loosely, because this world that we live in, everybody's, I have a right to be who I want to be. If I'm a man, I can be a woman. I have a right. I'm not talking about those kind of rights. I'm talking about the privilege that comes when you're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a whole different ball game. You know what I'm saying? So some years ago, a lot of years ago, I wrote a song with a friend of mine for my group, and it was called Heavenly Places. And I was like, Lord, I mean, I knew the scripture. We wrote the words. We did the song. It got played on the radio. I mean, so let me read the words to you. It says, when trouble comes, it's there to make you strong. While you're going through, you feel you're all alone. He's watching you. He knows how much you can bear. He'll see you through. Oh, yes, he cares for you. And he'll take you to where eagles fly in the sky. And the chorus says, in heavenly places. And then the background goes, that's where I want to be. In heavenly places, seated in victory. In heavenly places, just Jesus and me will conquer the whole wide world. Second verse is, when times get hard, don't you be afraid. Put your trust in him and he will make a way. He'll bear you up when everything's falling down. He'll see you through. Oh yes, he cares for you. And he'll take you to where eagles fly in the sky. So the bridge goes, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because they will hate you and love their own. And don't feel bad when they falsely accuse you and you did no wrong. Just hold on strong. Satan is a liar, and his children will do what he tells them to. But I'm telling you, one thing remains that will never change. Oh, yes, he cares for you, and he'll take you where eagles fly in the sky. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I heard that song. I sung that song. It was a part of me, and one day I was introducing it in a concert we were getting ready to minister, and the Holy Spirit gave me an additional revelation about it. We're seated in heavenly places, but like I said a minute ago, I'm standing here, you're sitting there. How can I be seated in heavenly places when I'm here? What does that actually mean? It means that my position, because I got grafted in to the family of God, when Jesus died on the cross, I'm going to go back a little bit. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood to make atonement, to make restitution, to make a redemption for the sins that I commit and you commit. He took those sins on himself so we didn't have to. And the Bible says that Jesus offers us eternal life, the abundant life, blessing, glory, presence of God. We get to live with him in heaven because of what Jesus did. And there's a condition. It's a gift, and you have to accept it. If you accept the gift, you receive it. So that's why we say in church, I received Christ. I trusted Christ. I gave my life to Christ. That process puts you in the family of God. The Bible says, and he uses the example of a tree, because people were farmers and they understood farming. And when you take a tree, the roots in the ground, the trunk of the tree comes up, and then the branches come off the root. And then somehow God cut off a branch, and then he grafted us into that branch and made us get the benefits of all the root, all the health, all the nourishment that comes from the tree. So we've been grafted in, the Bible says. We've been placed into the family of God. And because of that, we get to sit in the position of an heir with Christ. Amen? Amen? Now, I have to be honest with you and tell you that this last week was a struggle to get this message. And so I might jump around a little bit, but just go with me, all right? Forgive me if you're not totally getting everything. The Holy Spirit will help us this morning. Amen? I'm looking for this one great verse. It's a great verse, and I'll find it somewhere in these notes. Here we go. So Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, what does that have to do with what I just said? Because we've been grafted into the family of God, in verse 10 of what we just read, it says that God prepared things in advance for us to do. He prepared in advance for us to be an overcomer, to win. And because we live in a world where things don't always go the way they we think they could and should, this verse is in here for us. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The him that I said was Jesus. How shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So while he's sitting on the throne, the Bible says that Jesus is exalted to the place, the right hand of the Father. When he left the earth, he went to the heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. He's talking to God on our behalf. How many of you have been in a situation and you just know it wasn't your doing that it turned out all right? Everybody can put that. And if you had a hand or a finger for every one of those things, we'd be deformed some kind. We'd have 50 hands, right? You'd have lots of hands up, lots of fingers up, because God has done it over and over again. Anybody got that testimony? That's why we can say all things work together for good, because when things go sideways, we can trust God to be moving on our behalf because of our position in Christ. Now, as I said earlier, some of us are living beneath our position in Christ. And this is sometimes a little difficult for us to understand or even to fathom. So let me connect the dots. When we come to Jesus and repent, we can receive God's gift of Jesus, who took our place on the cross so we could have the abundant life and eternal life, right? So then is when we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And from that position, we get to live a victorious life because we have relationship with Christ. However, some have missed out on the benefits of relationship with Christ. I'm trying to connect you or reconnect you to those benefits today. Some of you think you're connected. Like, you know, I'm a Christian. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, hey, man, are you going to go to heaven? Well, sure. I said, how do you know? Oh, it was almost like I insulted him. Of course I'm going. My mom went to heaven, and my dad went to heaven. My mom's going to heaven. My dad went to heaven. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. So I said, well, when did you get your ticket? When did you get your ticket, my brother? It got quiet. Well, I think I'm going to heaven. I said, but you're not sure? Well, yeah, I'm sure. But I'm going to heaven. And then there's other people who say, my parents are Christians. I grew up in a Christian home. So by virtue of our religious affiliation in America, I'm a Christian. Because I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. So I must be a Christian. Right? You know, by process of elimination. I'm a Christian because I don't have three arms and a big belly, and I'm not rubbing it. I mean, I'm not doing that. And let's see, I don't wear one of them things, and I'm not bound, you know, I'm not worshiping the East, and I'm not doing none of that stuff. So I have to be a Christian. And then there's some people that I don't believe in God at all. But don't let something catastrophic happen. Oh God! They don't even know they call him on the King of the Universe. But I believe they deep down, they do know. Because anybody with, I don't want to insult anybody, but if you just think about how we're made, the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully means with care. Wonderfully means with excellence. And I'll prove that to you. We have two kidneys, not one. So there's people walking around with one kidney and they're still doing fine. God knew we needed to get the junk out of the earth and out of our body, so he gave us two kidneys. And if you only have one eye and you can only see out of one eye, you have a depth of field problem, so he gave us two. And then he gave us two ears, so you can hear what's on that side and what's on this side. If somebody calls you from over there, right? Okay, and then God gave us two feet, because we don't do so good with one. I used to not be able to do that. Thank God I can do it now without holding on. Yeah. So I'm just saying God made us well, didn't he? Yeah. And the doctors are still trying to figure out what our gallbladder and pancreas and some of the other things that we have. Oh, what is it? The appendix? They still don't know why that's there. They hadn't figured it out yet. They just take it out, and you live fine. But God put it there for a reason. When I get to heaven, I think I'm going to ask him. But being as I'm not a doctor, I don't really care that much. I have other bigger questions I want to ask him. But the thing is, God made us well. Amen? And he made us better than every other animal. That's why I don't get the idea that we would check with
whales and monkeys to see if they know something we don't. Y'all just got that, right? I know. So God made us well, the Bible says. And he made us a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. And he crowned us with glory and honor, the Bible says. And he made us to be able to have a choice to say yes or no. The other animals, they just have to do what they're told or do what they're made to do. But we have a choice. That's why we're kind of in the image of God, because we have a choice. And my point to all that is that God made you well and he did all that good. He didn't mess up and he gave you an opportunity, a choice to say yes to him. And when you said yes to him to become saved and to have eternal life, you also said yes to being in the family of heirs, in the family of kings and priests. In Revelation, it says we're kings and priests unto our God. Kings and priests. Man, that don't look like, you know, somebody who doesn't have no authority, no nothing. In fact, he gave us power to tread on scorpions and Satan. The Bible says he put him under our feet. We have power that we don't even realize we have power. And because of relationship with Christ and being seated in heavenly places, we have access to that power. So my point today is to try to get us to think of ourselves in the way that God thinks of us. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. It says that he who knew no sin, Christ, that didn't know sin, became sin, took our sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we get to act like it. And some of us act like I did when I was on the plane. I didn't know I had right to a sandwich. And some of us don't know that God really wants to save us from the dirt and the crap and the filth that we live around. And some of us don't know that we're kings and priests unto our God. Some of us don't know that we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. That means we can overcome every circumstance. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have trouble. It just means that we win in the name of Jesus. We win in the name of Jesus. We can win in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So when the devil tells you you ain't nothing, tell him he's a lie. Somebody said it. You's a lie. You just lie. My mother said, he lies like a rug. He can't help it. But if you know who you are in Christ, then you live that way. And because you know God loves you and has a care for you and has given you power to overcome the enemy and power to live the godly life, then you don't have to give in to temptation. Now I'm going to step on a toe or two. Some of us, and I've been there myself, we get tempted to do something we know we shouldn't do. And we look at it and we go, man, I can't do it. Meaning, I can't not do it. I got to do it. I can't resist this. It's too, man, that cheeseburger is too good. Well, that man, he just looks so fine. Or that girl, man, she got all the curves in the right place. Or I'm just talking real. Y'all act like I'm speaking some other language. And if you haven't said it and you're too young, you will be saying it one of these days. Okay. But temptation comes in all kinds of forms. It might be to cheat on your taxes. It might be to tell that lie to get a better place in your job or to move up or to do something. It might be to twist the truth for your advantage. It might be to avoid being caught. I've heard this one. I'm not sorry I got caught. Well, I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm just sorry I got caught. Yeah, you got it right. And God is saying to us,
that we have power to resist that. The Holy Spirit lives in us so we can resist that. Amen? Here's another one. You have a big decision in your life to make, and because you think you're God sitting on the throne, you don't ask nobody else. You just make the decision. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And we just do what we want, right? I've done it before. I'm not proud of it, but I'm willing to confess it so you don't have to make the same mistake I did. And if you have made that mistake, there's a way out. The way out is repent. If you're going this way, repent, turn around, go the other way. Ask God to forgive you. And whoever you hurt in the process, ask them to forgive you. And the Bible says that if we sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, clean us from, wipe the slate clean and forgive us from all unrighteousness. Here's another one. You come to church every other week. Why y'all laughing? Oh, it's football day today. I don't think I'll just stay home a little longer. Jesus won't miss me. Or, I don't need to read the Bible today because I memorized John 3:16. I know what that says. Or I got this much done, so, you know. Or here's another one. You allow the things of the world to become more important than your relationship with God. And we've all been distracted. That's the devil's way of getting your eyes off Christ and putting them on other things so that he can lead you down a path of destruction. But I'm here to tell you today that God brings redemption, that he wants to straighten up your gaze. So, in a nutshell, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Our position with Christ gives us access to the Holy One of Israel. He gives us access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It gives us access to power that's unknown in the earth, meaning that it's not from anywhere else in the earth but God. The only way you get delivered from some of the stuff that we've gotten ourselves into is by the power of God. It's not by confessing. It's not by going to an AA meeting. It's by the power of God. And the power of God comes to work in your life when you surrender, give up. And some of us don't like to give up. We just don't. We're too proud to give up or something. You know what? I just got this one thing because we don't have much time left. If you feel guilty about some of the examples I just gave, and the devil's making you feel bad for the things that you've done, that's not good, but it is good. What's not good about it is that when God forgives you, it doesn't matter what the devil says. But if you haven't been forgiven and your past comes up and it makes you feel bad, that's God's way of communicating with you to give it up. And he's exposing that so you can get rid of it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just think if I don't tell nobody, nobody will know. And I'll keep it and it'll be stuff way down. But you know what happens when you're free? When you confess all that junk and you get rid of it? Man, if something happens to you, all of a sudden you don't walk around looking for the hammer to fall. Because it can't. The devil's tried to convict me so many times. He done gave up. You know why? Because he can't win. I already confessed that mess. It's gone. He cannot bring me into condemnation. And if I feel condemned, I just go to the Father. God, what's it about that's not right? And he shows me every time. And when he shows me, then I confess it and I move on. So I'm free from the sin that I was being held by. And the secret that God wants, that the devil wants to keep you in, is to keep you bound in that thing. If you just keep it quiet, don't tell nobody. It brings shame. Shame is the devil's way of keeping you trapped. I break that in the name of Jesus. There's no shame with God. There's no shame. God doesn't ever shame you. When he exposes your sin, it's to bring freedom and healing and deliverance to you. It's not to whip you over the head with a hammer. It's so you can get free. So you can get free. Let me say it again. So you can get free. In the name of Jesus. I command freedom to come right now. In the name of Jesus. So let's go back to our original scripture really quick. This is the Message Bible. It says the same thing. It wasn't long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, this is for Ephesians 2:4 right now. Instead, immense in mercy, huge in mercy, and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives. Or he took our dead, sin-filled lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, saving is all his idea, all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. You know how we are. I'm good because. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. So the last scripture, reading that in the New King James, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the reason why you are seated in heavenly places, so you can do the good works that God prepared beforehand for you to do. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap this morning. If we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. It's the word that we get our English word poem. It means that which is made a manufactured product. In other words, our conversion is not the end. It's the beginning. We are part of God's new creation, and God continues to work in us to make us what he wants us to be. His purpose is to make us more like Christ. Can you say amen? How many of you want to be more like Christ? How many of you can say this morning that there's some area in your life that's not like Christ? And if I have another one, that's my third hand. How many of you want to get it right? This is how we do it. We confess. And I want you to repeat this after me, if that's you. I saw a lot of hands go up. But we're going to pray. I want you to say this in your heart. God, I come to you today with the places of my life that don't measure up to you. Lord, I thank you that I'm seated in heavenly places. I thank you that my life is clean by the blood of Jesus. And that I have relationship with you. And because of that relationship, I want to be more like Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. Where I'm weak, make me strong. Where I'm strong, make me stronger. I confess to you that I need you, Jesus, to rescue me today, right now. And then in your private language, quietly, while your heads are bowed, tell God what those things are. You can put your hand over your mouth if you don't want nobody to hear. It doesn't really matter. But be honest with God. You don't have to be quiet. You can yell it out if you want. I know when I was drowning, I didn't say nothing quietly. I said, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I need you to rescue me. Forgive me. Change my life. If you've never had Christ in your life, this is a great way to get saved. Just come to him right now and say, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know everything. But I'm willing to give you the reins of my life, to give you the reins of my life so you can lead me and fix what's broken and change my life, because I know you have something for me and I want to be doing what you created me to do. And the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. You don't deserve it, but he gives it anyway. His grace is enough for you. You can receive it right now. You can receive the free gift of life that comes from Jesus right now. All you have to do is say, God, I receive it. I receive life in Jesus. I receive everlasting life. I receive forgiveness for my sins. I receive forgiveness for, and you name it. I receive forgiveness. I thank you that I'm seated in heavenly places with you right now. Thank you, God, that I can be more like Jesus. Thank you, God, that I don't have to live according to the way the world tells me to live, but I can live a life that you want me to live, that it's glorious, it's full of joy, it's full of faith, it's full of blessing, it's the abundant life. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, I'd just love for you to stand with me right now. If you prayed that, if you gave something back to God this morning, we can all stand. But as you're standing, those of you who prayed that prayer and you want somebody to agree with you, we have a prayer team down here. Prayer team, if you'll come down and get some help. Come on down, prayer team. I know you're around. And if that's you, come on down. Just come on down. We don't have no music playing or nothing. We have a few minutes. This is something that'll change the rest of your life. Come and get what God has for you. Some of y'all looking like, I know I should come. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come on down. Thank you for standing. Everybody stand real quick. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I want you to come down and receive. Come and get prayed for. Come and come into agreement in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to loose them and let them go right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on and do business with God. Come on and do business with God. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. But he doesn't break it down. He just knocks. He's waiting for you to open it so he can come in and hang out with you. That's what he wants. Jesus said in another place, all you who are weary and full of heavy burdens, come, and I will give you rest. In another example, he says the table is set. If you're hungry, come to the table. There's food for you. If you have brokenness and you want to get fixed, come. Come right now. Don't walk, run. Don't let the devil keep you in that seat. Don't be ashamed that you have something broke. Everybody in this room has something broke. I got good news for you. You are not alone. The difference is we're getting healed by the power of Jesus when we confess. Amen. Somebody say amen with me. You know that's true. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for those who are coming right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Thank you for your anointing, God, that breaks the yoke and sets captive people free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. But even if God is still speaking to you, when we dismiss, instead of going that way, come this way. And just come on down. There's people down there. We'd love to pray with you and help you move forward in God. We're going to be dismissed in a second. Father, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings the word to us and makes it real to us. I pray that you would be with us this week as we go forward, that we'll remember that we're seated in heavenly places, and it's out of that seating, that relationship, that heir and joint heirship with you that we live this Christian life and we live the abundant life. And God, I pray that everyone in this room would walk out and move closer to you in that abundant living. In the name of Jesus, I speak over blessing. I speak over everybody blessing in the name of Jesus. I speak wisdom in the name of Jesus. I speak discernment to be able to see what the enemy's doing. I speak life so they'll be able to walk in the right way. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, continue to bring conviction and help us to know that we can come to you no matter where we are, no matter what time it is. We can just reach out to you. We can give the cry of our heart to help you to hear us. And God, I pray right now that this week would be a tremendous time of us walking in faith in you. In Jesus' name. Bless us as we go. Bless our fellowship time afterwards in the foyer right now, Lord. We thank you for it. Bless those who have come forward and maybe those who might be coming for it. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.